a locally owned Good Karma brand station.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you want the good news or do you want the bad news?
Bad, always bad.
What do you mean always bad?
No bad on Friday either. That's a rule of ours.
Gentlemen, we've got some good news and we've got some bad news. The good news is we found your Mercedes.
That's great news.
That's great.
Yeah, it's over at Impound right now.
No bad news on Friday?
No.
What do? You just hold it?
You wait till Monday.
Wait, so if I die, they can't tell you till Monday?
Yeah. Gabe's not going to be here today.
The bad news is we can't get you in front of a judge until Monday morning.
You stole a police car.
We didn't steal anything. We found it.
If anything, we deserve a reward or something, like a trophy.
But Monday. They'll tell me Monday morning in the production meeting.
How did it happen? When did it happen? And we'll be like, well, it happened on Thursday.
But I see like you every day.
Every day.
Let's go to Vegas. We'll all get drunk in
Vegas. Yeah. Woo!
Let's steal a cop car because it'd be really funny.
Yeah. Think you gonna get away with it? Not up in here.
Not up in here.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it. She's
gonna be a tough day watching all these Mets highlights.
She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited.
I'm like a cat over here.
Do you care?
Do I care?
Yeah.
Do you know about Good Luck Chuck?
No.
I don't want to get sidetracked too far here, but I do feel like it's important to educate you about Good Luck Chuck.
I mean, it's a bad movie.
That's not the relevance, though, here.
It's a bad movie, though.
So Good Luck Chuck was a story of a guy, I think it was Dane Cook.
It was.
Not important. Who, he would date a girl, and then the very next guy she would date, she would get married to. And so he was Good Luck Chuck. The Brewers have this ridiculous stretch now, Chew, where they are Good Luck Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
The team they lose to in the postseason goes on to be in the World Series. Now the Mets are not there yet. We are not getting ahead of ourselves. But I will tell you, I was doing Weekly Wager last night with Ben and Greg, as Francisco Lindor hit the grand slam to put the Mets in position to win the series, which they did. And I went, truck the Mets.
I don't care unless I hate the team.
What about you hate a specific player on the team?
I would probably rather see the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl than the New York Yankees.
Win the World Series.
Correct. I don't hate the Mets. Mets are fine. They don't bother me.
Yeah,
I mean, there was a little dust up this year. Who cares?
But Jesse Winker hates us.
I hate him back. Very simple. You know? But unless I hate the team,
yeah, so we
I
can hate
less.
Jesse. Do we have to hate Jesse Winker?
Yeah. Oh, he'll go back to sucking. Don't. That's a given.
A lot of people jumping on the Jesse Winker bandwagon, by the way. I'm not sure if you saw, but the Lakeshore Chinooks are doing a $1.99.
No, it's Broken Bat. Our friends at Broken Bat Brewing.
And the Chinooks. There are multiple people doing things for Jesse Winker.
You just got served.
No, what do the Chinooks do? They're out of season.
What is a Chinook?
Tickets. They're offering tickets for $1.99 for a specific game.
What's a Chinook?
You know,
it's a fish.
It's a fish.
I didn't know that.
You didn't?
No.
You're supposed to be a fisherman.
Or at least our outdoorsman.
I'm a fake fisherman? Pseudo fisherman?
All these years, you telling me you've been pretending this whole time?
Yeah.
When was the last time you dipped a line in?
In the water or?
Oh, my goodness.
Where else?
Yeah.
No, you don't know because the drop a line for Chew means he throws his arm over in the bed in the middle of the night.
Fishing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fishing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, we can get to that as the show goes on. Yesterday, guys, I don't want to be one of those people who make something out of nothing. So if you think this is nothing, go ahead and tell me. Be like, Jen, shut up. But the Romeo Dobbs thing did not come to a conclusion yesterday, guys. I thought it would be all tidy, in a box, with a bow. They would, navigate it, and we would be, able to move on. Romeo Doubs returned to practice. He did not talk to the media during the open portion of the locker room. Now, you may say, well, too bad, so sad. He doesn't have to talk to you. Fine. That's fine. Did he talk to his teammates? The fact that today we are still sitting here wondering if he addressed the team, if he apologized, if he took accountability for his actions, that I think is where we're like, well, now we just are left to wonder. Now we are left to think, is this still a festering wound that is going to affect team chemistry? Is it going to affect targets? Is it going to affect the offense going forward, Gabe?
There was a perfect blueprint on how to handle this from Jaire Alexander last year. Now, Jaire didn't get himself suspended because he didn't show up to work, but he got himself suspended nonetheless. And when he got himself suspended, showed up for locker room media availability, stood there, answered any and all questions, and the Packers were able to move on. Instead, Romeo Doubs, who left his teammates high and dry last week by deciding not to show up to work, continued that pattern of behavior and left his teammates high and dry. Because guess what? These questions were getting asked whether or not Romeo Doubs was there or not. You could have squashed this whole thing. You could have stood up and said, yep, I'm going to take responsibility for my actions. I'm going to answer these questions, and then we're going to move on. Instead, these things are going to continue to linger. Jordan Love was asked about it. Love declined to share any specifics in what he thought last week when one of his top receivers randomly chose not to report for work. This from the Journal Sentinel. He wouldn't say if Doubs addressed the team at the start of the new week on Wednesday morning. So this guy's not taking really any responsibility for what he did last
week.
Well,
we don't know. And I want to play this out, Chu.
Mm-hmm.
What's more likely, that Romeo Doubs did address the team, but everybody is taking the company line of saying we don't want to say whether or not he addressed the team, or Romeo Doubs didn't address the team and everybody is protecting his hiney by saying we would rather not discuss whether or not he addressed the team?
I would hope he addressed the team in front of a team meeting. That's the right thing to do. And I'll just say this, Gabe, as a player, yeah, I guess you don't really care what he does with the media, but as a fan, I think Joshy nailed it yesterday. Joshy, you want to keep that to yourself or what? I thought that was perfect.
I forgot what you said. I don't know what I said.
You don't remember what you put in the text chain when it came up?
Oh, coward. Yeah. You chickened out.
Yeah, he's a coward. He's a coward. But as a player, you really don't. As a fan, you do. But as a player...
But now you're answering for whatever, you know?
I'm just trying to think if anyone ever...
I know there was
sometimes... ...stood up in front of the team and apologized.
I mean, I know there were times you had to cover for Brett with Holmgren. I don't know if you ever had to with the media.
There was a time... Von Booker was with us. D. Lyman... and he was actually on Denver for Super Bowl 32, mm-hmm. which stings a little bit, and I think I told a story before where it was the middle of the season. He was supposed to practice. The medical staff said, you should be practicing. You're cleared to practice, and came down in street clothes to practice, and him and Holmgren went at it, and Holmgren threw him out. He didn't have time to apologize. Because they cut his ass. So he didn't have time, but I'm trying to think. I would expect an apology from a player when you do something like that.
Well, to me...
I'm just saying, Gabe, as a player, I don't know if I would care if he addressed it in the media.
But now you have to answer for him. Doesn't that bother you?
He
should be answering for himself.
Gabe, some guys have no balls.
isn't that an issue as well? And I think if he addressed the team, wouldn't the company line be, yeah, he addressed the team. We're going to have to tell you what he said, but he addressed us and we're moving on.
You would think so, yes.
That's not what the messaging seems to be.
I get it.
I want to be sensitive to this personality detail. Everybody says Romeo Doubs is different. He is unique. He is not, I don't even know what that means, but maybe talking in front of the team, apologizing to the team is like the most difficult thing for Romeo to do. And maybe he's more of a one-on-one guy. Maybe he needs to kind of work his way through the locker room and talk to each individual guy on the offense and say, hey, my bad, I messed up. But there's no indication that that occurred either. There's no indication that he is kind of doing his mail. And again, this a little feels like the Seinfeld, gonna need the apology. Gonna need, you know, right? Yeah. Like we're sitting here like pounding our fist and gnashing our teeth over the apology. But the reason that it is relevant is because if it is unresolved, then it has the potential to fester.
Correct.
And to affect the offense going forward.
Let me just explain this. I'll tell you this. Being a head coach is difficult. It's hard. You have now, you have 80 different personalities in a locker room. And I'll tell you that there's guys that I played with I didn't like. I didn't talk to. I didn't care for them. But you learn how to compartmentalize everything. And when you step on a field, then you all come together. But I'm telling you, there's guys, for whatever reason, I'd walk down a hallway and not even say hi. This is not everyone loves one another. Everything is great. It's 80 guys. You don't all get along, but you come together and you learn how to function as a team. If this was Dobbs and I was playing and he didn't address the team or anything like that, I'd probably say he's a douchebag.
Well, let's hear from Jordan
Love. I would.
Because Jordan Love obviously did address the media yesterday and was asked about Romeo Doubs. Let's hear from Jordan Love on his relationship with the pass catcher.
No, I think we have a good relationship. You know, I think Rome is a competitor, and he's shown that in the time he's been here, those 3 years. So, but we have a great relationship. I mean, we train together throughout most of the offseason, and something that we've been building up. So, you know, we'll move past this and keep building our relationship.
This has nothing to do with being a competitor. It has everything to do about being all about yourself. Selfish. Me, 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 me. Now, like I said, the last couple days, we make mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
But you know what you should do when you make a mistake? Apologize.
Atone for those mistakes.
You know?
And I guess that's the issue I have is, like, man, you left your guys high and dry. Like, you got to go up and you got to apologize for that. You got to nip this thing in the bud. You got to end it. And here we are. I was hoping that by Thursday, this thing would be over. Like, hey, all right, he stood up. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know what? Like you said, Chu, he's young. He made a mistake. He let his emotions get the best of him. But now he's back and everybody's on the same page moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
We do have Jason Wilde coming up in a moment. But before we get to him, I do want to hear from Matt LaFleur. Because Jason asked Matt LaFleur about how to handle this type of situation. And you might think that Matt LaFleur would typically not get into it, not give you much, but he gave a really good answer. So let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who was asked what happens when a player on your team is unhappy with their role.
You have to have a conversation. There's usually a chain of command with that in terms of going to your position coach, addressing the issue. And I get it. I think one of the beauties of just all these athletes and all our players is they all have their own wants, but how does it fit within the confines of the team's wants? And ultimately, we're in the business of winning, and you got to wrap your own desires under that team first mentality. And, you know, I think football is the ultimate team sport. I've said it many times. It takes all 11. I think there's so many great examples of guys doing the little jobs to allow guys to go make plays. I think a great example this last game, I don't know if I said it the other day or not, was on X's interception. Kobe Wooden going in, picking the center, Carl Brooks wrapping around, Keyshawn Nixon playing great leverage on the receiver, kind of bumping him off his route a little bit, allowing X to go make the play. And then we got a bunch of guys blocking on that play. You know, nobody can make plays unless the guy next to him isn't doing their job.
The thing that is so wrong about this is it's not warranted. It's not warranted one bit, because if you look at the targets,
yeah,
he's got two less targets, and then couple that with the fact that you're playing with a backup quarterback for two games who's been there for, and you do whatever it takes to win. It'd be like, hey, Dobbs, we need you to play left tackle.
I mean,
he should say, absolutely, I'll do whatever it takes.
I mean, you dreamed of that. You were hoping it was quarterback, but that was something you dreamed of.
But not warranted.
In that game, Chu, he even had like the biggest, in the first game, he had the biggest play.
Yeah.
In the past game, when he went up and got that ball that Malik Willis threw up to him that basically sealed that game in Malik Willis's first game. So he was clearly somebody that they trusted.
I can tell you this right now, based upon what I know and the facts that I have, I don't like him. I don't want to play with guys like that. You know, not going to cheer for him. Just like Joshy said, I think he's a coward. Face the music.
Which, again, affects the dynamic of the team going forward. Because, Chewy, if you feel that way, imagine being in the locker room with this guy. Yeah. As much as Jordan Love says, I work out with Romeo, we have a good relationship. All of a sudden, somebody shows colors like that. And I'm not going to say it's his true colors. I'm just saying that, like, you show a side of yourself like that. And it gives people pause. It gives other receivers pause. Oh, if I get the ball, is he going to be salty? Is this going to affect? And the other thing that I don't think people recognize enough is the power of distraction. You are in it right now. This is the middle of the NFL season. You want to be focusing all your attention on getting better, prepping for your opponent, walking out of there on Sunday with a victory. Now you're answering questions about this. And unfortunately, because they did not, as I said at the beginning, wrap it up with a nice bow, because they were not able to say, Romeo talked to the guys, he apologized, said he made a mistake, doesn't like how he handled it, whatever, ba 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 ba, and we're moving on. You can't. You sit there and wonder if it's going to linger. And if these guys, Watson and all, you know, all the Reed and all those other guys and Melton, et cetera, if they are the type of guys who think that he should apologize, then that's sitting there out there in the ether, in the environment as well. Yeah, I mean, like, dude, just do it. Just do it. Why aren't you doing it? Why can't you do it? Why haven't you done it?
You can't avoid this forever. Eventually, you're going to have to step up. You're going to have to answer these questions. I'll tell you what, though. I think I like Christian Watson more. I really like how he answered some of the questions.
Yeah.
Said, you know, he went up to Romeo, said some things that Romeo probably didn't want to hear in the moment, and, you know, still said them anyways. And I kind of like the way Christian Watson handled this whole thing.
From listening to people's responses, I don't think this is actually resolved in that locker room.
No.
It feels like word vomit that everyone's kind of just going into coach. Like the competitor stuff from Love, what does that mean? Well, that's just saying things.
So, but again, let me just, I think the competitor thing is he's competitive. He wants to be the best. He wants the most targets. Like, I think that's what he was trying to say, which has nothing to do with how he handled it post-incident, right? Yes, we get cranky. You're emotional. Mm-hmm. Human beings are irrational. I get all of those things, but it's how you address it afterwards. Yeah. It's how you come to the table and say, my bad. Oopsie poopsie, mea culpa, whatever your version of it is. And I think what we're saying this morning is we haven't heard that. Again, do we as the media, do we as the fans need to? Not necessarily. You could make the argument that we don't need it, deserve it, whatever. But do his teammates? Unequivocally, yes.
As a fan, I wanted this to be resolved. Doesn't feel resolved.
No, it doesn't.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy because we have Jason Wilde, who was in the locker room yesterday, who talked to some of these guys yesterday. We are going to hear from him on this and more right after this.
You know how much we love Palermo's Pizza around here? It's because Palermo's and sports go to, you know, it goes hand in hand. You're kicking back, you're enjoying the game, you want something to taste great, you just go to your freezer, grab a delicious Palermo's Pizza, pop that in the oven, and you're going to have something that you absolutely love. Because if you love thin crust pizza, thicker crust pizza, maybe something more medium, maybe a more artisan, they have so many different brands, they're going to have a taste that fits your appetite. Because Palermo's has Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, all under the umbrella. Well, how do they do this? Well, they've been doing it for 60 years right here in Milwaukee, so they know premium quality frozen pizza. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I haven't talked about Romeo like this since, I don't know, high school literature, studying Shakespeare, talking about Romeo and Juliet. Jason Wilde joining us this morning to give us the latest on the Romeo Dobbs situation in Green Bay. Good morning, Jason.
Who is this?
I'm sorry,
what? I feel like I haven't talked to you in like 3 weeks.
Is that true?
Well, I feel like every time, like Chewy was gone in like, I don't know where he was, Spain, Antarctica, somewhere. He was out of the country.
somewhere in between.
You've got all the game day stuff going on. And I feel like it's been like dude Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Palooza for like a month. So it's great to hear from you. And I'm eager to explore more of your Shakespearean studies. But if you want to talk about the other Romeo, we can do that too.
Yeah, let's talk about Romeo Dobbs. So Gabe is concerned because it doesn't feel like the situation is resolved. The hope was that leaving 1265 yesterday, it would be water under the bridge. It's all in the past. We're on to Arizona. It doesn't feel that way today. Is that an accurate depiction?
I think it's water under the bridge and we're on to Arizona for Christian Watson. I think we should all have someone as supportive as Christian Watson was yesterday of Romeo Dobbs in our life. Like I'm serious. I have a newfound, like I've gotten along great with Christian. He won our Mully Award last year, along with Aaron Jones, for being the most stand up guy with the media. Romeo not likely to win, after not talking yesterday. But like he gave such an incredibly impassioned, supportive spiel to us on behalf of Romeo that I was just so impressed that he had his teammates back. I'm such a believer in the importance of being a good teammate, and I thought he was a fantastic team. I mean, he basically flew in the face of whatever LaFleur had told him and the team too, of, you know, keep it short, don't say much, et cetera, et cetera. He was definitely not following that game plan. As far as talking to us and speaking publicly, I think it's important to be clear. I don't really care if he talks to me or not. He doesn't owe me that. He doesn't owe me personally that speaking in front of his locker. Chewy can remember during his career when guys would do something to get in trouble, they would always be forced to speak to the media. Mm-hmm. And it was the most half-assed, half-hearted effort. I mean, Cletus Hunt was one of the worst. Like I don't know if anyone's gone through the motions more than him, but then again, for much of his career after he got paid, he went through the motions there too on the field. So I'm not here to demand how dare Romeo Dobbs not talk to me and my brethren, but I do feel like that was part of the owning your mistake process. And you owe it not to me, but to the fans who buy your jersey in the pro shop, who pay for the tickets, because you no-showed for work. And those are the people that, if we're being honest, pay at least a portion of your salary. So I have that issue. But here's the thing, and I don't know if you guys talked about this yet, but I'm not sure he addressed the team.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. And because, you know, I was talking to somebody who works in the league about this, and again, I don't know for sure. But, like, what would be the downside of these guys saying, yeah, he talked to us before the team meeting. I'm not going to get into what he said, but, you know, we're moving forward. That's the end of it. But at no point. Like, the fact that LaFleur and Love both said the same line of, I'm not going to get into that, when simply asked, did he address the team? That, to me, was a huge alarm bell. And that, Gabe, you're exactly right. It makes you think that this is not water under the bridge at all, and that why would you not? Again, you don't owe it to me, but you damn well owe it to your team. And the best indications that I got were that he had some individual one-on-one conversations with Christian Watson and Jaden Reed and Bo Melton. Those were the three guys that I talked to. And if he did not address the team, I don't know how you look at it any other way than this is awkwardly continuing forward and this is not resolved. That's just me. But again, the fact that no one was willing to say that he addressed the team, I can't say for certain that he did not, but it makes me suspicious. And the last thing you want when something like this happens is continued suspicion and curiosity. You want to squash it and move on. And I did not think the way yesterday played out did that.
Why isn't someone advising him in the building? And the first thing when you were talking, Jason, I went back to Brett. Now, this isn't as serious as what Brett went through as far as, you know, the Vicodin and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the building took control. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a press conference. You're going to tell your side of the story. We're going to get it out there. We're going to stay in front of it. Okay, and we're going to welcome you back with open arms. Why isn't someone doing that? Why isn't LaFleur saying, you're going to address the team? Okay, I don't care. Football is an uncomfortable game. In a game, you are put in tons of uncomfortable positions. So I don't care if this is uncomfortable for you. It's the right thing to do. And you're going to address the media because we have to get out in front of this thing before it's a distraction. Now it's a distraction. Okay? Why isn't someone advising him inside the building, not an agent or whatever? And what are the rules of availability, Jason? Aren't there any? Doesn't he have... He can't hide from the media for the whole season.
Not forever, unless he's willing to pay fines to the NFL. Yeah. So I don't know the answer to that, Chewy. I agree that... But that's a different era, too. I mean, look, I don't want to turn this into some sociological discussion of what today's athlete who is coddled and whatever else does, because Romeo had a tough upbringing. So I don't have any idea. I don't understand him. I don't know him at all. My conversations with him have always been, when I talk to him and I go back and transcribe it, I'm not entirely sure I understand what he was saying, and they're usually pretty straightforward questions. So I don't know him. I don't know how his brain works. He is a different guy, and I think we have to at least allow for the possibility that he said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not comfortable doing that. And you're right. It is an uncomfortable game full of uncomfortable moments, both on the field and occasionally off the field, when your position coach is screaming in your face or you're having an issue with a teammate or whatever it is. I don't know how you don't speak to your team and have to apologize. But as far as who's advising him, I don't know if anyone is. I just don't, because look, and my point to yesterday, and I don't know if you guys got to listen to this or not, but like I asked LaFleur and Love separately, like, and I thought it was an effective tool. I said, let's say I'm one of your wide receivers. So let's say I play for you, Matt. If I have a problem with my role, what do I do? And it was the one question that he actually answered pretty extensively. And so Romeo Doubs did nothing to communicate his dissatisfaction. Like, if you listen to what Christian Watson said yesterday, he was worried that something bad had happened to his teammate. Those guys were in the same draft. They've been together for the longest time. This group, Samari Toure was released. He was the third wide receiver from that group, from that draft. So whether or not they have similar personalities, they clearly don't. Christian is much more outgoing. But he was worried last Thursday when Romeo didn't come to work. And that tells me that he didn't talk to anybody. And the answers that both LaFleur and Love gave solidified in my brain anyway that he just didn't show up. And he didn't talk to anybody. And I've brought this up before, but we do this at GKB. We do this 12Q survey every year. It's part of our reviews. And one of the questions is, do you have a best friend at work? I don't know who his best friend is, but he definitely, if he has one, I would have thought maybe it was Love. They work out together in the off season in California. They share a personal coach. But the impression I got from Love is that he didn't talk to him either. So he just did this on his own, and now I'm not sure that his behavior, based on what we know, and maybe there's more to it that no one told us, But based on what we know, I'm not sure that this has caused any sort of meaningful change. And whether or not anyone's going to make him do anything, you're right. We reach a point with the media that if you haven't addressed reporters for X amount of weeks, ask Jimmy Graham. He paid $25,000 for not doing it. You will eventually be in trouble with the league. That does not happen immediately. So, but I'm not going over to Lambeau today expecting him to talk to me today. Would you?
No.
I just think what? He says I'm not going to talk about it. Right?
I mean,
would you say
eventually he's got to step up? And because to me, the biggest part to me, Jason, about him not speaking yesterday was you left your teammates high and dry by not showing up last week, and then you left him high and dry by having to answer for you because you didn't want to answer for you yesterday.
Yeah,
like so, I think that can cause more resentment. But what do we think his role is going to be this week? I mean, is LaFleur going to have him heavily involved in the game plan? Because clearly you want him to be engaged, but at the same time, you don't want to reward somebody who didn't show up for work last week.
Yeah, I thought Tausch had the best idea. He's going to play a bunch of snaps, but he's not going to be the primary target on any single play. And you're going to have to go dig out the safety on a bunch of run plays. I thought that was – test him.
Mm-hmm.
See how willing he really is to be a teammate. I thought it was a really good – like, you can't obviously play that way, right? Like, you have to have plays that and look, he could be the third read and still get the ball, et cetera. So, But I'm really curious to see that, too, because you're right. The last thing you want to do is reward petulant behavior. Mm-hmm. And, again, Christian Watson did use the phrase mental health multiple times. So, I do, again, find myself wondering if there's a little more to why Romeo would not address the team. Like, I don't know if he has a phobia about that or whatever it is. I don't want to make excuses for him. I also want to be sympathetic if there's something more to this. But the bottom line is all we have to go on, because no one has said, hey, he had some sort of mental health crisis or whatever else. All we have to go on is what we have at this point. And what we have at this point indicates to me, just like Gabe said, he left his guys hanging high and dry. And he didn't even address the team, much less the media.
Good stuff, Jason. We appreciate the perspective. Thanks for hanging out with us. And I'm sure I'll talk to you again in about 6 weeks.
Yeah. Sounds great. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Okay. Got a lot of people weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text Line. Got a lot of people weighing in on our YouTube channel. Remember, you can always stream the show on YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee. And there is a sentiment that thinks there is some social anxiety here. Is Romeo Doubs dealing with a social anxiety that is prohibiting him from addressing the team? We'll get into that right after this.
Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment with your business in mind. So what does that mean? That means Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions here in Milwaukee and work from a foundation of strong community connections, commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
More than 89 years, Great Midwest Bank has been your trusted local financial partner. From savings accounts to home loans, they're here to support you and your dreams every step of the way. They care about you and the community, and they will make sure your banking experience is the best it can possibly be. Let Great Midwest Bank be your partner in financial success this summer, ensuring every sunny day is backed by solid savings and peace of mind. I want to make sure that we are not coming across as obtuse to or ignorant to mental health challenges that sometimes people are dealing with. We've got a few folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text Line. We've got a few folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page talking about social anxiety, which is obviously a very real thing that people experience and deal with. Do we know that Romeo Doubs does or does not? We do not, but it is worth addressing. It may be debilitating, paralyzing, impossible for someone to step up in front of their team, particularly when they're feeling guilty, feeling shame, feeling uncomfortable with something they have done. The caveat to that is, guys, that is not the only way to take accountability and make amends with your teammates or your peers. If standing in front of your office, for lack of a better term, makes you feel uncomfortable, write a note.
Exactly.
Make a call. Send a text. Like, there are ways to get around the idea of having the spotlight on you in a very compromising, in a very vulnerable situation. There are ways to address it one-on-one to show that you do feel and understand that your actions have consequences, that your actions have affected the greater good, the greater team. Because, Gabe, I will tell you this. It doesn't matter where you work, whether you play professional football, whether you work in an office, whether you're in a different kind of community, nothing deteriorates chemistry and trust faster than a lack of accountability. We understand that people mess up. Everyone does. It's how you handle the mess up and how you recognize that it might have affected other people. And that is what Romeo Doubs, it feels like right now, has not yet done.
Yeah, and maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Until somebody says that he does, like, I can't just assume that he has some sort of social anxiety. I can't just assume that. Unless somebody steps up and go, yeah, this is something he kind of struggles with, but this is how he made up for it in another way.
Have LaFleur do it for you then. Romeo, do you want to be in the room or not? You don't have to be in the room. Do you want me to apologize for you? You don't have to be in there. I'll apologize for you. Look, Romeo's very uncomfortable about speaking in front of the team. He didn't want to be here. He feels horrible. He knows he made a mistake. He wants to move on. He wants to apologize for it. What's so damn hard about that?
Yeah, there are ways around it.
Exactly.
Write a letter to the team.
Thank you.
Put it in everyone's locker.
God.
Many ways to go about
Again,
it.
Again, send a text. Send a voice note. Like, with technology and communication options these days, there are a lot of ways that you can, you know, can make that connection.
This is what I said yesterday. Hold players accountable. It's very simple. Stop giving them passes. They're making millions of dollars. They're making all of this, okay? Hold them accountable.
How tough is it to compartmentalize? You talked about that earlier in the show. If you're going through something like this with a teammate, how hard is that to, all right, this guy kind of left me high and dry, but we still have a job to do when we're out on the football field. Like, how hard is that to...
He let me down here, but
now I can still trust that he's going to run the clear out route when he needs to run the clear out route.
You know what the toughest thing is as a player? Toughest thing as a player with your teammates, right, is getting in a fight with them. A physical altercation, okay? Because you're, as an athlete, and this goes all the way back to college, because I used to fight in college, knucklehead. You know, it was all, and I'm sure you guys heard the term, leave it on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it. It's the hardest thing to do, you know? But you can get past it. You can, but you both have to be able to get past it.
But let's just use our example, guys. Like, there are things that we, the three of us, the four of us, vehemently disagree on.
Yeah.
Right? There are subjects that we talk about where we look at each other and go, how in the world could you think that way? Even when you're defending your position strongly.
Mm-hmm. For example, how often you launder your socks.
Who, yes. Me or Jen? Jen just spit on the floor and I did not say a thing.
You snitch.
I didn't say a thing.
You snitch.
Okay.
See what I mean about deteriorating the chemistry and the trust? You're just deteriorating the trust.
I take one pop at him and he just starts lashing out with haymakers.
Yeah.
The point I was trying to make before I was thrown to the wolves is... you put it away. Yeah. I don't sit there and go, I can't believe Chewy doesn't wash his socks. What a disgusting human being. And then carry it into real life. Like, that's your point, Chewy.
Yeah.
You're like, have I invited him over since? No, I have not.
He's a shoes-on guy.
But it's tough in a game like this where where it's so physical and you rely. That's the greatest thing about football. That's the one of the greatest thing I love about football is you don't need the football to be great.
Well, and I think, again, the answer we heard from LaFleur earlier, talking about how McKinney made this interception because this defensive lineman held the center, and then, you know, Colby Wooden or whoever it was peeled around to get the pressure, and this guy did this, and then that allowed the big play to happen for Xavier McKinney.
It's beautiful. It really is, you know? I mean, baseball, you have to have the ball in order to shine, right?
Yeah, basically.
Whether you're catching it in the outfield, whether you're throwing it, whether you're hitting it. Basketball, you can be great as a defender without touching it. But football, you could never touch the ball and still be great. But you have to rely on the guy next to you. You know? You don't have to love one. You don't have to like the guy. But when you come together on a football field, man, you got to be one unit.
You got to trust him to do his job.
Yes.
All right, guys, answer this. Folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line and on the YouTube comments. Chris says, they suspended him. Is that not holding him accountable? That's a punishment.
Yeah.
And yes, the team and Matt LaFleur, et cetera, do have to hold him accountable with a punishment. But there is something about self-accountability, right? So what are you saying? That because he did the punishment, because he served the punishment, he somehow is sorry for his behavior, he is sorry for how it affected his teammates? No, guys, I think you have to take accountability. I think you have to say, I bleeped up. I know that that my actions affected the team, and I'm sorry about that, and I'll be better, and I'll learn from it. It was a mistake. I was immature. All of the things that Chewy, you have thrown together. Chewy, you do see there's value in him saying, I did this, as opposed to just serving a punishment and that being the end of it.
You know who else they suspended? Antonio Brown, who's a knucklehead. How could you play with that guy? Yeah, they suspended him. Does that mean everything's copacetic? No.
And honestly, too, I mean, again, it goes back to I slightly different, but you suspended Jair last year. And I think a long way for him to step up.
Yeah.
Hold himself accountable, talk to his teammates, talk to the media, being like, no, don't ask them, come to me, this is on me. And I think that went a long way to having that trust with his teammates.
I mean, he could always issue a statement to the media, right? If he feels uncomfortable about talking to them. I mean, that's been done before.
Oh, yeah, issue a statement.
Sure.
Hey, here's what happened. I am sorry for it. Again, just because you're... As long as this continues, like, do I think that Jordan Love and Christian Watson are going to be asked about this again today? No. Do I think that they're going to be asked about it again at some point? Yes.
Well, doesn't it matter wholly how Sunday shakes out? Doesn't that, like, we'll have a really good indication of if this really is water under the bridge and if this is all bygones be bygones, depending on how Sunday shakes out. But I also said to you guys, I mean, I said this last night on Weekly Wager as well, I don't want Jordan Love forcing the ball to Romeo Dobbs as some sort of, you're my boy, Blue, and we got your back, and we understand that you threw a temper tantrum, so we're going to make sure that we target you more. Like, that would be a bad circumstance. That would be a bad consequence as well.
And that's the tough balance, because clearly you want him involved. You want him because you want him to be engaged. Because let's say he gets one target.
Ooh.
Let's say he gets one target on Sunday.
Ooh, ooh.
Is he showing up on Monday?
Ooh.
Like it's a legitimate question that you have to ask as long as this thing goes unaddressed.
If he doesn't show up Monday, he doesn't have to show up Tuesday because he won't be on the team.
Correct.
He'll be gone. The interesting thing will be where he falls in the pecking order, because is Watson, what is he listed as?
So he was a limited participant, I believe, yesterday.
I think that's correct.
But he participated in practice, which is a step in the right direction for him.
He'll probably play, which bumps him down the line. I mean, my guess is he's going to be what? Four?
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll be Watson, Reed, Wicks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Wicks has gotten 20 targets in the last two games.
I know.
It's a lot.
So, yeah. It's going to be very, very yes.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of other stuff to get to. We did hear from Matt LaFleur yesterday. And, of course, there is a big game versus the Cardinals on Sunday. Go ahead.
See, Gabe. What's great is if Chewy messes up, he holds himself accountable.
I know. But you know where he should go? Romeo, to the jewelry center and buy everyone a piece of jewelry from Dean the Dancing Machine earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when it comes for that day for my four boys to take their next step in their lives, you can bet they'll be heading to the Jewelry Center for their engagement rings. The Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for rings. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe went to the Jewelry Center and got a great experience from the Jewelry Center for his impending wedding. Stop into one of their three locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington today, or check out their full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, you are missing out on an elite experience. It is a complete sports betting paradise. State-of-the-art venue with dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a first-class bar, a restaurant, a VIP deck, and a broadcast booth, which is where we did weekly wager from last night. They have really figured it all out. Bet above the rest only at Pottawatomie.
What was your best bet last night?
I've got San Francisco tonight. San Francisco against the spread. 3.5, I believe. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to talk to you about the Packers and the Arizona Cardinals. How do you feel about this game? How do you feel about the Packers' run defense going up a guy like Kyler Murray? Obviously, Gabe, we know how you have felt about the pass rush. What are the odds in this one? Packers are favored by 5, according to the Pottawatomie sports book. You feeling good about the Packers headed into this game against Arizona?
I don't feel that. Arizona's offense is explosive, and Kyler Murray has been playing very well. And after they had their thing where he was like, it's not my job to force the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr., he's played pretty well. Connor's run the ball pretty decently. The problem with the Cardinals,
they're coming off of the win over the 49ers.
Yeah, the problem with the Cardinals is their defense is not very good. The Packers, the one thing, while I want to see more consistency, the one thing the Packers have done really well all year, explosive plays. So you sprinkle in a little bit more consistency with those explosive plays, and I think they're going to be humming. So they're going to score a ton of points. They're probably going to give up some as well, but I feel good about them being able to get just enough stops against Kyler Murray.
I didn't love their game plan last week, Packers. I thought they should have ran the ball more, because the Rams, I think, were 32nd in the league against the run. I just thought they could have done that just to control the game because the Rams won the time of possession, I think, by 4 or 5 minutes. So I think LaFleur learned from that. I mean, all head coaches go in and say, hey, I want to run the ball, and then they abandon it so quickly. So I hope he sticks with the run more. I think there's going to be some points scored in this game, but I think in the end, Packers will be a little too much. And couple that with the fact that Arizona won their big game last week.
Yeah.
So they're
big in-divisional game. Yeah. Now they got to travel on the road.
I'm not real concerned about this game.
I'm not super concerned.
No.
Jake, the Packers and the points? No, Packers are favored in this one.
I did.
Yeah. So would you take the Packers to cover?
Yeah, I'm laying the points.
Yes, I did. I don't know what that means, but I did.
What do you mean you did?
Well, what are you asking me? So Packers are going to win.
Yes, by how many?
The spread is 5, which means
7?
Then yes. You take the Packers.
Okay. Your Packers lay in the points.
Yes.
Should we do a
I don't
gambling
have a problem
tutorial?
With gambling. That's why I don't know anything about it. I'm not pointing fingers.
creeping my direction, pointing fingers.
She's getting closer to 500.
Yeah, that's right.
She had a good week last week.
And I feel pretty good about the bets that I'm laying down this week, too.
Okay.
I've got...
Are you beating Ben?
We're tied.
Okay.
Greg has got one game on us in the best bets. My best bet this week is actually tonight's game, as I mentioned. I think the 49ers are going to win.
Yeah, that's a good bet. That's a good bet. Yeah.
Nice little bounce back after a tough loss.
Yeah. Kind of an embarrassing loss.
Cardinals are better than you think.
They had that game in hand. That game was
that's
in
true.
Hand.
That's true. Yeah, they kind of yoked it away.
Yeah.
We'll take a break here. Roll on right after this.